Good evening, friends, and thank you for joining us this evening to our Gnostic Lab of Practical Application. Today, in our practice, what we're going to work with is with the development of our imagination. It is important that we develop our imagination because what we are seeking to achieve is the ability to comprehend things without the need to reason. What we want to be able to do is to develop ourselves in such a way that we can receive wisdom without the need of engaging our intellectual center. And the reason for that is very simple. It is because as we engage our intellectual center, every time that we do that, we're going to have an internal conflict. That conflict is going to be between good ideas and bad ideas, between things that are convenient, things that are inconvenient, between things that are favorable and things that are not, and so on and so forth. So as we work with the development of our imagination, we need to complement that with two additional faculties of the heart. The other one is inspiration, and the third one is intuition. When we develop the faculties of imagination, inspiration, and intuition, whenever we are seeing a symbol, whenever we are receiving a teaching, we can see what it means, we can see how it affects us, we can see how to apply it, and we can do this with the faculty of imagination. We can receive the profound significance of the teaching by the faculty of inspiration. And we can receive the purpose of that teaching directly by the faculty of intuition. So Samael has been very clear. We need to develop these three faculties: inspiration, imagination, and intuition. And today we're going to work a little bit with the development of our imagination. But we have to do that knowing that there is a difference between fantasy and imagination. There is a difference between mechanical imagination and objective imagination. Let me tell you what these two look like so that you can find this experience within your own, within the memories of your own experience. We are dealing with mechanical imagination, with fantasy, whenever we are catching ourselves daydreaming about lustful encounters. That is certainly mechanical imagination. And that is all moved directly by the impulses in the sexual center. Mechanical imagination happens when you find yourself in your car and you are driving a vehicle, but in the meantime, you're also holding an argument with someone who is not there. And in that moment, you know exactly what you're going to tell them, and you are feeling all the physical sensations of the argument. That is also mechanical imagination. And it is being fueled directly by your instinctive center. It comes from the instinctive center because it is right then and there where you have all of those impulses that have to do with your self-preservation, with your survival. If you happen to all of a sudden be finding yourself trying to visualize something, and as you are trying to visualize something, there is a particular image that captures your attention and you identify with it. And as you identify with it, you fantasize, and all of a sudden your train of thought goes down a different direction. And before long, there is something else that comes up in your mind that distracts you. You all of a sudden become identified and fascinated by it. So you take another turn in that. And as you continue going down different paths of thought, and before long you stop and you say, whoa, wait, what was I even thinking at first? Okay, then that is certainly fantasy. That is mechanical imagination. And it is being fueled by your intellect. As you look at those transactions, you will start seeing that those turns are triggered by that battle of antitheses. Because you like to do this, but you don't like that. And because you like that, if you do it, then something else is going to happen. And that moment, you go down the path of that something else. And as you can imagine, then we also have mechanical imagination or fantasies that are triggered by our emotions. These can be patterns of thought that are erratic, but that they would be associated with emotions, most likely inferior emotions, things like vanity and things like self-pride and self-consideration, and those times when we think, am I good enough for this? And we're carrying sentiments of guilt and etc., etc. So you can see where this goes. So there is mechanical imagination, and that one is fantasy. That is not what we're looking for. We are seeking for objective imagination. Objective imagination is the one that comes fueled directly by the consciousness. Whenever you are relaxing your physical body, whenever you are breathing deeply in through your nose and out through your nose, and your emotional center is calming down, as your emotional center and your physical machine start calming down, your intellect also starts calming down. And it comes down to different degrees depending on how much practice we have put behind this. But before long, you see an image that is very significant to you. You see an image that shocks you, perhaps even for an instance. And at that moment, that has been an effect of objective imagination. When you apply your consciousness into your thinking and you make a deliberate effort to see things that are of a superior nature, that is objective imagination. And you have done this before, because every time that we have done the practice of the gnomes, and you have made a diligent effort to be able to visualize these little gnomes walking out the soles of your feet, that is objective imagination. And objective imagination is clairvoyance. This is what we need to know. We are all more or less clairvoyant, just like we are all more or less imaginative or imaginative. So let's focus on developing this faculty of objective imagination. And this faculty is certainly associated to the chakra Ajna. What is the chakra? This is the chakra that we have right in between our eyebrows. This chakra is the one chakra that is known as the Church of Philadelphia. So if you ever come across that book of Revelation and you see the apostle speaking about his vision, meaning what he saw clairvoyantly, and you see the messages that the Lamb is given to the seven churches, well, know that this is the fifth of the seven churches. The chakra Ajna is the Church of Philadelphia. Now, for those of you who are not too familiar with these words, what is a chakra? Well, a chakra is a magnetic center. It is in our physical body. A point where we can see, perceive, receive, transfer of energy from within the astral plane into our own physicality, into our own vitality. We have many chakras in our body. We have many of these magnetic centers in our body, but we will do our best to limit ourselves to the seven primary ones. Those seven chakras, the one that exists at the bottom of the spine, that is one. The one that exists in either the prostate in men or the uterus in women. The one that exists within the solar plexus, about three fingers above the navel. The ones that exist in the thymus gland, right there next to the heart. The one that exists in our creative larynx, this chakra, Ajna, which exists between our eyebrows, and then the one chakra that exists at the very crown of our head. We will do our very best in our initial lectures just to focus on those seven, even though at times we will speak about the chakra of the spleen, and we will speak about the chakra of the liver, and we will speak about the chakra of the pancreas, etc., etc. Okay, but these are the seven primary ones. And this chakra Ajna is very important. And as people see them, they tend to believe that the colors of the chakras are those mirrored by the colors of the rainbow. Of course, the people who have done that, well, they are not too sure about what exactly it is that they have been doing. When they look at this chakra Ajna, they see it like this, and they see it just as a lotus flower of two petals. But we need to clarify some things so that you don't leave this particular lecture with those confusions. Okay? The color of the chakra is not blue, it's not purple, it is not pink. This chakra is of a very pure, white, intense color. And those two petals that you see there, you see them like that because this is a very simplistic artistic rendition. But in reality, there are 96 petals arranged around this flower. And those 96 petals, they are split half and half, and they are bound and closed together in such a way that they seem like two large petals, but in reality it is not two, it is 96. So this chakra, its color is a very intense white, and it is made of 96 petals. This particular chakra controls and governs a particular gland in our body, and it is known as the hypophysis. It controls that particular gland. And this chakra is the one chakra that grants us the ability of seeing things. Ultra. It allows us to see things that the eyes of the flesh cannot see. And maybe you have already had the experience of walking around your house and out the corner of your eye being able to see that there has been somebody there. This is very common. Maybe you have found yourself out in the wilderness and you have been able to see that there was some very interesting creature close to you. And when you look for it with your eyes, you cannot find it. Okay? So again, we are all more or less clairvoyant, just as we are all more or less imaginative. And the message behind that is that we need to be watchful of the things that we see. Because when we are working with the chakra and we start awakening its faculties, there is one aspect of clairvoyance that is positive, and there is one aspect of clairvoyance that is negative. With our own psychological aggregates, with the many defects that we carry within, we are prone to make many serious mistakes. And it is possible that we can see something and you would be convinced of what is that thing that you saw. But because the ego is a very bad secretary, it would lead you to believe things that are incorrect. The ego would lead you to see the appearance of the thing and not the thing itself. For example, you would be able to develop your faculty of clairvoyance, and one day you would look at your wife, or you would look at your husband, and you would have this vision of them being unfaithful. And because we have many egos of resentment, and egos of hatred, and egos of jealousy, and we have egos of self-love, and we have egos of victimhood, and all of these egos that we have, we may end up hurting our spouse. We may end up creating damage into our marriage, because you would see that image, but you would not know if what you are seeing is a message that is coming to you from your Divine Mother, or if what you are seeing is an event from a previous life. And if you're seeing an event from a past life, from the previous one or from the fifth one long ago, and you take revenge now, then you bring about a lot of suffering. You bring about a lot of confusion. When we develop these abilities are meant to complement our experiential knowledge. They are meant to complement our own individual and particular gnosis. So when you see something, that experience is meant to be private. It is meant to be individual. It is meant to be esoteric, meaning occult, meaning that you are not to be sharing it with anybody else. And as you start sharing them, we want to tell you right now so that you don't go through it, even though you are always welcome to try it and validate this for yourself. The moment you start seeing things, and you start getting internally very cocky, and you start thinking, oh, this is so easy, I can do this all the time, I'm going to tell you right now, that faculty is going to be taken away. Because the intent of the faculty is not to boost your egos of greatness. It is meant to help you complement your work. It is what helps you complement the work until you start taking it as a natural ability. Because after all, it is a natural ability. The moment you start having experiences and you start sharing them with somebody else, it is very likely that that faculty is going to be taken away as well. So as you develop these faculties, friends, keep them personal. Keep them private. Don't go around trying to boost your greatness and how phenomenal you are and how many powers you have and have people coming to you, because it is just not going to end well. So how do we develop this faculty? The practice that we will invite you to do is a very simple one. We want you to be able to sit comfortably on a chair. And we want you to relax your physical body just like we do every week in each and every one of our Gnostic labs for practical application. Go ahead and do the practice of the transposition of your pulse. You remember that one? When we project our pulse into the tip of our nose, and once we feel it there, without identifying with it, we shift it into our right ear. And once we feel it there, we don't identify with it, but then we transition it into our right hand, and then into our right foot, the left one, the left hand, then the left ear, and back into the tip of our nose. You remember that practice? That practice is a very powerful one because it brings us into a very deep and profound state of relaxation. You can also do the practice of the gnomes. And you can then use your objective imagination so that you can see these gnomes walking out the soles of your feet. And then you can then start building and feeling, bringing in that lassitude and that relaxation from your ankles all the way up in your calves and your knees and your thighs and your creative organs, your internal organs, your chest, your neck, your shoulders, your arms, your face, all the way up to the crown of your head. The important thing is that you relax your body. And we want to relax our body because in that deeper state of relaxation, we become more able to listen. We want to listen to the voice of the innermost. We want to be able to listen to that intuit that comes through. We want to be able to quote unquote listen to that image that may be deposited into our mind so that we can see the symbols, so that we can extract the wisdom out of it. And as we relax our physical body, we will always invoke of our innermost. And we will say, Father of mine, God of mine, you who are my true being, you who are my internal God, we are here to ask you of your powerful assistance. Guide us in this exercise. Help us awaken the faculty of clairvoyance. Allow us to see those things that exist beyond what the eyes of the flesh can see. And in that, you will sit comfortably before a table, and in that table, just get a glass and fill it up with water. And as you are observing that glass, chant the mantra, Ease. That mantra will sound something like this. Ease. And we will continue chanting that mantra, maintaining our attention fixed at the very center of that glass of water. As you sit before your glass of water, don't sit too far away. Also, don't sit too close to it. Perhaps keep that glass just a few feet away from you. As you are chanting this mantra and you are focusing your attention on this glass, what will start happening is that your field of vision will start changing. And for many of you, that field of vision will start feeling like it is closing in because you are seeing blackness or darkness around that glass. For many of you, you will see like a hue of blue around the glass of water. Many others will see shades of red or shades of purple. And that is perfectly fine. Because as you are doing this, what you are doing is that you are slowly educating yourself to see the colors of the astral light. And this is the practice that I need you to do. I need you to go get a glass of water. I need you to set it on the table before you. And I need you to sit comfortably on a chair. So I'm going to go ahead and give you a minute. Go ahead and go get a glass of water and come back so that we can do our practice. When you come back, let me know that you are ready by typing ready on the screen. Some of you may think about having flowers on the table. If you choose to do that, that is perfectly fine. Some of you would think about perhaps burning some incense as you're doing this exercise. If you choose to do that, That is phenomenal. Maybe some of you would also be thinking about just turning on some classical music and allowing the classical music to play while you're doing this practice. If you choose to do that, that is also a phenomenal idea. But just know that all we need is a glass of water, a table, and a chair to be able to do this work. Let me know when you're ready. Thank you, Fidelia. Very well. So as the others come and finish making themselves ready, let's go ahead and make ourselves comfortable on that chair so that we can start our practice and we can start our exercise of relaxation. Okay? So we're going to go ahead and make use of our objective imagination. And by leaving our feet flat on the floor, let's make sure that that we can sit as far back on the chair as possible so that our back is perfectly flat and straight. Let's rest our hands on our thighs. Close our eyes. And let's take a deep breath in one. Exhale in two. Two. One. Two. One. Two. And let's use our objective imagination to see that our physical body is populated by an infinite amount of gnomes. As you are sitting comfortably, see these little gnomes walking out of your body, out through your toes. And as they are walking out of your body, out through your toes, you can feel immediately the impending sensation of relaxation that comes across the soles of your feet, your ankles, and immediately rises up your calves all the way up to your knees. We continue breathing effortlessly, enjoying this particular moment, grateful for this opportunity. And we continue observing these little gnomes walking out the soles of our feet. And we can feel that relaxation expanding from our knees into our thighs and into our hips. With every exhalation, we bring further relaxation into our creative organs. And we can feel the lassitude and the comfort, that very subtle vibration that our legs enjoy as they relax. We enjoy this in gratitude, but without identifying. And we do not identify so that we don't fascinate with the relaxation. And as we continue breathing, we continue observing these little gnomes walking at our feet. And we feel that relaxation expanding into our abdominal cavity. So we relax our internal organs. And we relax our back. We allow the relaxation to reach our stomach, our lungs, and our heart. And with every exhalation, we let go of any worries. We let go of any preoccupations. And let's allow ourselves to see a beautiful emanation of blue light that projects directly out of our heart and envelops all of our physical body. We can use our objective imagination to see this light expanding infinitely upwards, as if it were penetrating all of the different dimensions of creation. And as it expands upward, we can allow it to expand around our bedroom and around our home, around our community, around our city. Our state. This nation. And expanding and covering every corner of our planet. And we are very grateful for the ability to see this. And within this subtle blue light, our physical body continues to breathe without making any significant effort. And as we continue to observe these little gnomes walking out the soles of our feet, we relax our shoulders, our arms to the elbows, our arms to the wrists, our hands, and our fingers. We relax our neck, the muscles of our jaw, our tongue, our lips, our cheeks. We relax our eyes and our eyelids. We relax the muscles in our forehead. And we allow that relaxation to expand And we relax our ears. And we relax our scalp all the way up to the crown of our head. And we experience the subtle sensation in our body. We enjoy the subtle vibration that inundates the physical body. But we know of the difference between sensation and satisfaction, and thus, in gratitude and in gratefulness, we thank our innermost for this moment. And we say, Father of mine, God of mine, you who are my true being, you who are my internal God, Father, we ask of you, we beg of you, of your powerful assistance. We ask of your guidance in this exercise. Let it be the strength of your willpower, operating through our insignificant person. Allow us to chant this powerful mantra, and we beg of you that you help awaken for us our faculties of clairvoyance. And we beg of you with our soul and our heart that you also give us the necessary discernment so that we don't become swayed with any visions, so that we do not make use of this faculty to boast or to grow our aggregates, but that we rather make this faculty a fine and delicate instrument at your service. Now, maintaining that remembrance of self, and without identifying, let's open our eyes and let's focus directly on our glass of water. We are only here to perceive the glass and the water. We are not attacking the glass of water with our eyes. We are not confronting the glass of water. We are limiting ourselves just to observe and perceive. And looking right at the center, we chant the mantra, Is. Is. Close your eyes. Divine Father, we're infinitely grateful for this opportunity. Thank you for your guidance in this exercise. Thank you for those things that you allowed us to see. And we ask that you give us the discipline and the tenacity to continue carrying these exercises forward. So be it. Now slowly wiggle your fingers and your toes and open your eyes. And that's it. This is the practice that we wanted to share with you today. We encourage you to do this practice. Don't just do it today for 10 minutes and forget about it. So if you have a chance, repeat this practice again this week. If you can do it 2, 3, 5, or 10 more times, that is phenomenal. And if you can do 10 or 15 or 30 minutes, that's even better. Because, you know, we take out of gnosis the same thing that we bring into it. If we come here with diligence, with discipline, if we come here with tenacity, then we get a lot of fruit out of our effort. If we come here skeptical, and if we come to these practices doubtful and somehow willing and somehow not willing, then our results will be very mediocre. And this is such an amazing opportunity. The fact that you have the opportunity to have and receive this wisdom delivered right into your hands makes of this a very auspicious moment. So let's make the most out of it. Dear friends, thank you so much for joining us. We are very grateful for your participation, and may all beings be happy.